So we are a duo of our new podcasting team together, me and Sophie.
Yay! Duo time!
And we're going to do a meaningful music. And this meaningful music is basically your stuff, isn't it, Sophie?
Yes, it is my playlist.
So the way these work is basically we have a playlist of music and we share the Spotify playlist on the text of the podcast. And then people can click on it and explore it as we talk about the songs, basically.
Okay, cool.
So it's nice. So we're going to start with, we've got to start saying, you mentioned there was something that might be a bit triggery for people.
So there is one track on there, which is Down by Jason Walker, and it's basically just to do with mental health and suicide. So that's just basically like a warning for anyone that's listening. If that's like a trigger for you, then just to make you aware that that's there.
And
yeah, basically.
That's cool. All right. So, yeah. But Can't Find the Moonlight, Leanne Rimes, perhaps not particularly as triggery. That's your first choice.
Yes, that's the first track. That one is... Basically, that is the first song that I ever sung on stage in front of an audience.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. How old was I? How old are you when you're in year 7? Like 12? 12 years old?
11, 12, yeah.
Yeah, so aside from, you know, like school plays and stuff, that was the first pop song that I sung on my own on a stage in front of a big crowd of people. So it just has this, I don't know, I have this really weird connection to it because of that, because I sing a lot now, and that always takes me all the way back to that first experience whenever I hear it. So yeah.
Did you get a good feeling from that track, or is it like a scary, oh my god, that was the first one I did?
It's a bit of a weird one, really, because it was a show that the school did called Stars in Their Eyes. So it was you had to pick something where you feel like your voice sounded like that particular artist. So you know the old show Stars in Their Eyes with Matthew Kelly, and they go, "Tonight, Matthew, I'm gonna be," and they walk through the smoke and they come out and they're judged on how well they sound like the artist that they are covering the song of.
Yeah.
It was basically like that, but in school. It was a school thing that they did, like a Stars in Their Eyes type thing. And I chose that song because I had a Leanne Rimes album somewhere in the house, and my mum used to tell me that I kind of sounded like her, which is not true, because I don't think I sound anything like Leanne Rimes whatsoever.
You got some pipes on you though, girl, you know what I mean?
Oh, thank you. But I feel like Leanne Rimes' tone is so different to mine. Like, now I look back on it, and if I'm being honest, it's a good feeling, because I'm like, yeah, that's the first time I ever sang on stage. That was a really big moment for me as a singer and as a vocalist and as a performer. Mm. But also there's this underlying embarrassment of like, oh, I sounded nothing like bloody Leanne Rimes.
Like,
do you know what I mean? And there was this DVD that my mum had of the performance, and back then I was very conscious of listening to my own singing voice, because that used to... I mean, even now, it still makes me cringe.
Can you do it?
What?
Listen to my own voice, yeah.
Only if it's like, say, for example, if I'm recording a track... And then I have to listen to it to see whether I'm okay with it. I've learned to have an unbiased critical ear on my own voice, because I don't like the sound of my own voice whatsoever. But that is the only time I can sit there and be like, right, I want to do that bit differently. Can we record that again? But ultimately, I really don't like hearing my own voice.
It's weird, isn't it? I can't do it. So honestly, strange. Is when songs are done, it's different because you've handed them over and then they become the song, if that makes sense. But I'm like, you're just going to have to chuck loads of reverb and delay on it so I can't hear it.
Make it not sound like me, please.
Yeah.
I think it's that whole human thing of we are used to hearing our own voice in real time, aren't we?
Yeah.
So our
definitely.
Our ears process it in real time, but if you record it, it's almost like you're processing it slightly differently.
Yeah. Handing it over, I think if you hand it over to someone else, it's easier. I always think that, like, I've just got to hand my voice over to somebody else to deal with, because I'll be just too self-critical of it and stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. I could not produce my own music. I couldn't sit there and know whether it's good enough, because the voice in my head is like, your voice sounds weird. Like, it's not. I have to really listen to other people. And that I know it aren't just being nice, that you know, can give me constructive criticism.
Yeah.
And I have to try and believe them when they say, this sounds good. And I'm like, okay, I believe you, but take it away, please.
But it's weird, isn't it? Like your own head voice and stuff, because obviously you're not hearing what comes out of your mouth. You're hearing what's resonating around the inside of your head, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, you're only hearing it in real time. You're not hearing it post-production, like when you speak. But my mum had this DVD of this performance, and she used to play it to all of her friends, because obviously she's a parent, she's really proud of me, she's like, oh, look at my baby girl singing. And I hated it, so I found that DVD and I snapped it in half and I buried
really?
It in the garden. Yeah, I did. And my mum, she was looking for it for ages, and she was like, where's that DVD? I was like, I don't know, you must have lost it. It was honestly such a weird like thing. And it's a joke in my house now when my mum's like, well, if only I still had that Stars in Their Eyes DVD. And I'm gutted that I did it as well, because it would have been a really good self-reflective moment.
That's the ultimate self-sabotage, that is. That's
honestly. So yeah, that song holds a lot of good feelings now that I've matured and I've grown, but it also holds a little bit of embarrassment and a little bit of, not shame, shame is the wrong word, but you know, like my mum used to play that in front of all her friends. She used to make me come downstairs and listen to it with her and her friends, and I used to get, like, you know, I was going through adolescence, I was embarrassed about everything, do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
It was a really critical time for me and myself. But no, it holds good memories now, so I can sit and listen to it. And every once in a while, I crack it out on karaoke, you know, and give myself that moment of, yeah, I'm still singing the song. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I was just looking at the cover. I couldn't get it. It was Coyote Wild, isn't it? It's on the film.
Coyote Ugly, yeah.
Coyote Ugly, sorry. What's Coyote Wild? Oh, it's a club in Derby.
I'm not sure.
Well, it was. It's not anymore. I don't think it's there anymore.
Oh yeah, I think. Oh, you know what? I think that was.
I think they named it after that film, actually.
That's Coyote Wild. Used to be. Well, it is now. Well, maybe not now, but it got turned into Moo Moo's, I think, or something in Derby.
Moo Moo's. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're too old now.
Yeah, I know. That's it. Clubbing days are over, well and truly now. But yeah, so. Coyote Ugly, that was the film that it was from, and I used to watch that film religiously. I absolutely lived for it.
Is it a chick flick?
It's good. Yeah, you know, small town girl moves to the city, starts working in a bar where she has to like dance on the bar and be a little bit more like loose and free, and she discovers her own voice because she can't sing unless the lights are off.
Okay.
She can sing, and she wants to write music, but she has to perform these songs at open mic nights, but she freezes up every time. But working at this bar gives her confidence and all this sort of stuff. It's one of those films that you kind of either half watch, or if nothing else is on, yeah, put Coyote Ugly on. It's not like a...
She in it? Liam Ryan, is she in it?
Right at the end.
Oh, right.
Right at the end,
she's
in it, yeah.
Cameo.
But that song is the one that the main character writes.
Okay.
So like Can't Fight the Moonlight is the one that she writes to perform at this open mic night. But yeah, so that's where that comes from.
Cool. All right. So we're going to move into Down, Jason Walker. Now this is a slightly different story, isn't it?
Yeah. It holds such a powerful little thing over me, because when I was how long ago was this? A fair few years ago. There's always been a theme around mental health and things like that in my life. I've always been living with some kind of anxiety or depression related thing. I don't like to say problem or anything because it's not a problem in my head now. It's more just something that I live with. Do you know what I mean? I like to see it more just as this is something that I deal with instead of this is a problem that needs to be fixed. Because, you know, it's taught me a lot about myself. And before I had this mindset of it's not a problem, it's just this thing that I live with, I used to really, really struggle with it. And there was a point during my mental health journey where I was very, very close to ending my own life. And that was a real turning point for me in the case of, like, you know, how have things gotten to this point? And obviously it's a very hard subject to both talk about and listen to, but just from my own personal journey, I am almost grateful for the fact that I got to the edge, because it made me realise that there's an edge. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It made me very aware of, wow, if I don't somehow make peace with this thing that I have, then it can take me to a really dark place. And I use that as fuel for my fire, in a way of, I have been to the precipice of the abyss and I've stared into it. Let's not go back there again. Let's make effort to be more positive and more accepting of myself and more forgiving of myself, rather than, you know, rather than allow myself to, you know, not think that I'm good enough to the point where I feel like I need to go back to that place again. And during this time, during that particular day, that particular time period, where I was very close to falling off the edge, so to speak, I had this particular song on repeat in my headphones. And now, whenever I listen to it, it reminds me that I've come so far from that mental state of where I was. And I didn't listen to this song for a very, very long time because I was like, oh no, it's gonna like trigger me. And then I don't know what inspired me one day. I was sat with my guitar. I was just practicing some chords and finding covers and shuffling loads of old playlists for new inspiration. And then this song came on and I was like, no, you know what? I'm gonna stare this song in the face and I'm gonna play it and I'm gonna sing it and I'm gonna mean it. And it was this really amazing moment of taking my power back that song had over me, you know?
Yep.
So it has a lot of layers. And as much as it holds this little line of sadness of, okay, I was at a point during my mental health where it was really bad, it also has these other layers of, yeah, but now it has these other meanings to me that I can overcome very difficult things and that I can take my power back and that I can be more positive. And it's a very important song to me in that sense now.
That's good.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. It's just that changing of meanings, and actually it becomes an empowering thing rather than a thing that does bring you to the edge again. It's actually said, I've been there, I've done that, I've experienced that, and now I can reframe it.
Yeah, and I suppose is a vague term. It's important for me to share this song with people. I remember sharing it with my partner. We were on a long drive ages ago, like down to Basingstoke, and we were taking it in turns to show each other songs. Because sharing of music, I mean, much like this podcast, it helps you get to know a person. And I said, right, okay, I'm going to share a song with you. And he had I was driving, he had the phone with the aux cord in his hand. I was like, type this into YouTube and play it. And then I said to him, I was like, this is the song that was playing in my ears when I was in this place. And I was like belting it out at like the top of my voice, like the windows down. And it just felt like, okay, this person is a step closer to me now, you know? It's like I've let them in through a layer. And that was really important for me to like share that. And yeah, now I'm sharing it with whoever listens. I just feel, it feels really good. I had a little bit of a conversation in my head about whether or not to share it, because it's a very, very personal thing. But also, I think that it has a very important message, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why I decided to pop it in here.
I think it's good, yeah.
You know, yeah.
And that, I think there'll be people who relate to that, you know, and they too have either got an experience or a memory. It could be music, it could be something else that, you know, sort of takes them back to a dark place, but also allows them to reframe, you know, I was there and I've sort of overcome that. And that's quite empowering, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wicked. Counting Crows next. Counting Crows are one of my favourite all-time bands.
I love Counting Crows.
Yeah.
I got into Counting Crows via an old band. We really love doing a cover of Mr. Jones. Is it
Wicked,
Mr. Jones?
Mr. Jones, yeah. From August and Everything After, that album, yeah.
Yeah. And this song was my first ever hearing of Counting Crows, because it's at the start of Shrek 2. And this song for me is just, it's a happy song. You can put this song on no matter what's going on, and that first riff where it's da-na-na-na-na-na just puts me in such a happy place.
Yeah.
And makes me feel like bouncy, and the lyrics of it are so clever. Like, Counting Crows have really clever lyrics for me in a lot of their songs.
Definitely, yeah.
This is just one of the happiest songs that I can put on. Like, complete contrast to the last one. Like, this is one of the songs where if you needed to change my mood instantly to be in a happier place, this is the song that I would put on. And it just gives me memories of me and my brothers watching Shrek 2, because we watched Shrek 1 and Shrek 2 religiously, to the point where we could probably, and we have done, memorise the script and been able to perfectly reenact certain scenes from the Shrek films.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's mental, because me and my family are quite crazy, but in a good way. This song used to be like the signalling of, you know, the start of the second film, and we all used to like dance around the living room to it and sing it and like try and, you know, get all the words right, because there's some like really, really long unbroken verses in it, isn't there?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a really happy time for me. A real happy song.
Awesome. Yeah, I have memories of at a school concert, the band leader who did all of the wind band stuff basically said, we haven't got a drummer for this song, can you drum it? And I love playing the drums. I'm not a drummer, but I love playing the drums. And it was like, this is the best thing ever. And I couldn't play it, so it was really hard. But it was just a lot of fun. And it's got such a great feeling to it, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's really uplifting. I feel like that's a good word. Instead of happy, it's like, it's uplifting.
Yeah.
Just makes me want to be like, yeah, the world is amazing. Do you know? So yeah. So that's like that one, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot of Counting Crows songs that do that. They've got a knack, haven't they, of captivating that kind of, just lots of different emotions, to be fair, but in particular, that kind of joyous sort of, you know, everything will be all right kind of emotion.
Yeah, like, don't worry, pals. It's all great. I'm like, thanks, Counting Crows.
So the next one you got is Laura Marling and Devil Spoke.
Devil Spoke, yeah.
Now, Laura Marling is an artist that I know of. and haven't given enough time to a material. So do you like, is it a Laura Marling thing you love in general, or is it just this track in particular?
Laura Marling in general. The album that this has come from, which I believe is I Speak Because I Can. Can't see the album. Yeah, I Speak Because I Can, which is also another great track. But I discovered Laura Marling when I was at university because I studied contemporary performing arts, and a major component of that was contemporary dance. And they used a few Laura Marling songs for our dance routines. And this was one of them. And whenever I listen to Laura Marling, it reminds me of that time at uni and how they really loved weird and wonderful songs for all of the dance pieces, because contemporary dance is weird, and whoever watches it takes away a different element from it. It's like looking at abstract art but in dance form, so the body moves in weird ways that aren't considered normal, that sort of thing. So they like to use music that perhaps isn't very well known, and I really just fell in love with Laura Marling songs after they played a couple of her songs for some of our routines. And yeah, she's just really, I would say, like contemporary folk music.
Yeah,
if I were to try and sum her up, which you can't really, but no, it's a really good album, and I would urge you to listen to it, because I know, particularly you, Chris, I know you'll really like the vibe.
Cool.
Yeah.
Where would I start with it then? Is it that album?
That album, I Speak Because I Can. Yeah, that's the one that I personally like fell in love with. So if you start there and then perhaps branch out a little, let me go to the album.
There was a few at the same time that came out, those kind of artists. There was, like, I remember Gemma Hayes as well. I really like Gemma Hayes. I've not heard much from her recently, but Laura Marling's kept going, hasn't she? She's done loads of different stuff.
Yeah, she's done a few things, and they're all great.
Like, she's very critically acclaimed, isn't she? She's like a lot of, you know, she's a bit of a musician's musician. A lot of people really like her who are into their music.
Well, I'm not surprised. She's like, you know, she's it's not the sort of typical like you know, like pop and popular music has a certain formula in it, I feel, and that's what makes it popular music, you know. And she breaks a lot of those rules. She reminds me a lot of Imogen Heap.
Nice, yeah. Well, that's me. Yeah. Then. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. She reminds me a lot of Imogen Heap, in the way that, like, she bends and twists, like, the rules on songwriting, how they should sound, and what like chords to use and stuff. It's really a journey to, like, listen to her stuff, like, oh, I didn't expect that, that's nice. So yeah, like, as a whole, she's an awesome artist, and she knows how to sort of play around with the idea of music, but also you know, it takes me back to that particular time where I was studying something that I loved.
Vancouver Sleep Clinic and Unworthy. I've never heard of these. And they look like the sort of band that I should have heard of.
Oh, okay. So, Vancouver Sleep Clinic are an amazing band. They're from Australia, and I originally discovered them. There is this Spotify playlist that I've kind of made a little bit infamous in my group of friends, and it's called the Teen Wolf Official Soundtrack Chill, and it has a lot.
Oh, you're gonna have to share that one as well.
We'll
add this one on the bottom, yeah.
I'm doing this right now as I'm talking. So this soundtrack, this playlist, forgive me, is basically, it's just got a lot of contemporary chill music in it. And I really used to like putting it on either if I was drawing or if I was in the bath or if I was doing something, because I didn't know any of the songs, and it was really nice because I wasn't getting pulled in by, like, you know, song that I knew, and it was just this really nice background chill music to have on. But then I listened to it that much that I actually got to know the songs, and Vancouver Sleep Clinic are on this playlist, and I shared this playlist with my partner, who we both know, Ben, and he latched on to Vancouver Sleep Clinic, and he was like, "These have become my new favourite band."
I think he sent me this before, you know.
He must have done. Yeah. He's gonna be so mad when he hears that, like, you haven't Vancouver Sleep Clinic.
I tell you, it's one of those things that I must have listened to it and then not listened to any more. Maybe, I don't know.
Perhaps I've just sent you that Teen Wolf official soundtrack chill, and it is a really good playlist to, like, just listen to and study or craft or do whatever you're doing. But this particular song I introduced into Vancouver Sleep Clinic via this playlist, and then we just used to lie there chilling out in bed doing our thing, listening to Vancouver Sleep Clinic just on shuffle on Spotify. And I organised a little, like, surprise trip to London where they were playing this one night only show in England because they're all the way from Australia. And it was one of, like, the best experiences that we've had together as a partnership. And this particular song, it's really, really soppy. But I just remember the first time really hearing this song was when we had the playlist on shuffle of Vancouver Sleep Clinic, and we were just kind of half chilling out, just having a little cuddle in bed, and it was just a really lovely little romantic moment. And that song just now reminds me of my romantic connection with Ben, and it's really, I don't know, it's just really prominent, like, in my head when it comes to, like, romantic stuff. Like, you can hear other perhaps more popular romantic songs, but this one has that little specialness to it, I guess, and it just takes me back to that moment. And
wicked.
Yeah, it's really important in that one. So.
That's lovely. All right, so going into Paramore, Misery Business next. I do like Paramore.
Yeah.
She's got a voice on her. She's got some pipes.
Oh yeah, like, Hayley Williams is a number one. Hayley Williams is one of the biggest vocal inspirations that I have. She's in, like, my top five of, like, female artists that I listen to and go, wow, give me those, give me that. And I used this song to audition for a band that I was in for quite a long time, because it was the only song with a female vocalist that they knew and that I knew collectively. And they were like, "Oh, do you know how to sing Misery Business?" And I was like, "I know the song, but whether I'm going to be able to pull it off well enough is another matter entirely." And I had to get my big girl boots on, and I sang it. And to my surprise, I hit all the notes in it. And I was like, "Wow, okay, that's in there."
Wicked.
And we made it, and we made it part of the set list. As, like, you know, I joined the band and it was part of the set list, and it was one of my favourite ones to sing because it was just honouring this female vocalist that I hold in such high regard. And it was the one that I got the most nervous about in the entire set list. Like, every other song, okay, yeah, I'll sing it, but this one, it was like, wow, it's Misery Business, I've got to do it justice. So that just takes me back to, you know, touring all of the local Derby and Burton pubs and, like, doing gigs and stuff and treating it like it was Glastonbury every single time. You know?
Yeah, I know that one.
Jumping off the drum kit and, like, stuff like that, honestly.
What was the band called that you were in?
It was called The Midnight Stand.
Wicked.
God, how many years ago, I don't know. We had two of our own songs that we wrote, but I think there's a really low quality phone recording of it somewhere on the internet. If you could find it and link me to it, then that would be wicked. I'd love to have a little reminisce.
I remember the moment we discovered phone recordings, you know, like, for rehearsing and recording, and when we,
yeah.
I mean, we're probably 10 years after everybody else with it as well. And then suddenly went, oh, we can record it on our phones and then send it to each other. And then we don't forget the songs that we write. That was a revelation, that.
That's it. They had this old phone recording of, because before I came into the band, they had a male vocalist, and they had a recording of their own song, and there was a rap in the middle eight, right, there was this rap and they didn't have any of the lyrics written down. I just had to listen to this recording of them performing live. It was just a foam recording and I had to try and figure out the lyrics from this foam recording, and I was like, I've no idea what this says. I've got to try and write these lyrics down, pick out words. It was hilarious. It was just probably nothing at all similar to the original song, but yeah.
Did it sound good though? It was all right.
Yeah, I mean, I was rapping it that fast. It was just made up words, really. It was just mumbo jumbo, but yeah.
All right, we've got Sad and Maroon 5 coming up next on your list. Which album's this off? It's not that, because it's Maroon 5, it was the first one. Is it Songs About Jane? Is that what it's called? I've made that up.
It wasn't on Songs About Jane.
Yeah.
Songs About Jane, like, I think I know every single track on that album. That's like one of my
top
albums.
It was a massive album, that one. I remember that. Yeah.
It was huge. The album is called Overexposed, track by track. So I think this was maybe the second or third album. I'm really not sure. I don't want to say, in case a diehard Maroon 5 fan is like, oh, it's this album. But I found this song when I was learning how to play the guitar, and I'm not a guitarist by any shape of the word, but I can pick up an acoustic and I can play chords if someone's like, right, C, G, A minor, I know where my fingers are going, like, you know what I mean. And I learned that specifically so I could write my own music for the band that I was in, or for someone else that could play an instrument, and I could at least give an idea of like what chords I wanted to use, and do you know what I mean, like, oh, okay, so this is vaguely what it will sound like, but my playing sounds rubbish and you can make it sound better. And that's basically it. And I was practicing playing the guitar by going through covers of songs, and I was just hitting shuffle on random playlists on Spotify. As I said earlier, it's kind of how I used to do. And this song came up, and this was the first one where I played about with putting the capo in different places, because Adam Levine is an amazing vocalist, but he's not in my key. And it was the first song I came across. I was like, oh, I've got to change this somehow so it fits my voice, right? And where I am in terms of like pitch, it just gives me really good, you know, guitar learning vibes and learning how to change key and use a capo and all that sort of stuff, you know?
That's wicked. Yeah. So there's a lot of these songs that you've chosen are about your development, aren't they, as a person?
Yeah.
That's the pattern that I'm seeing across all of these. They're all either, you know, memories of experiences where you were developing yourself, or memories of experiences where you discovered yourself in some way, or discovered something about yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I link music to memories, you know, and the most prominent ones came through to me when I was making this playlist. I was like, okay, I've got to pick 10 songs. I was like, what songs come to mind? And these were literally just the first 10. They were like, right, let's think of songs. And then it was bang, 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 10 songs. And it's only just now, as we're exploring them, that I've realised, oh God, yeah, this is like the personal development story.
Isn't that interesting though?
Really?
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah. I don't know, like, for me, it's like, there's always a deeper meaning with the song. Like, it's not just, oh yeah, I like this song because it's cool. For me, it's like, I don't know, it goes a bit deeper than that. I don't know.
All right, three more. We've got I Just Want to Make Love to You, Etta James.
Yeah. So my mum brought me up on Northern Soul, jazz, and like Motown and blues and that sort of music. That is my mum's forte. And one of the earliest memories I have of music was my mum had a Hoover and I had a toy Hoover, and I really wanted to help my mum Hoover the carpet. I have this memory of my mum hoovering the carpet and me hoovering with her with this toy Hoover, and I loved doing that. And my mum always used to play her music really loud whenever she did the cleaning. And this song by Etta James, which is like a really, you know, jazzy, soulful song. And my mum used to like wiggle her hips and like dance to it. And there's actually a picture of this somewhere. I'll have to find it and send it to you. And then I used to like try and like wiggle my hips like my mum as like a three, 4 year old child. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, dancing and hoovering with my mum. And whenever that song comes on, me and my mum always look at each other like, you know, oh yeah, this is that song where we used to hoover up together. So this is one for my mum, I guess. Like this is one of mine and my mum's like songs that we share a love for with each other. And it's just really, really cool. And she used to teach me about you know, the history of like Northern soul music and jazz and blues and stuff. It was really important to her that I knew, like, you know, this is good music because this is where it came from, you know.
And it's good, yeah. What a great musical upbringing as well.
Yeah.
Has that influenced your taste in music now?
Well, it's strange.
Like the soul stuff.
Yeah, like I'm really eclectic with music, really. I'll listen to anything. I've got like classical pieces that I love. I've got, you know, really heavy screamo rock music that I love, and a lot of that stuff. I was a goth for a long time. Still kind of am. And I've got such a range, I've got such a broad library in my head of music that I really enjoy. And I feel that a part of that is my mum gave me this appreciation for music from such a young age. And she's like, oh, listen to the voice on this lady, like, you know, feel how she emotes as she sings. And like my mum would really educate me and like listen to the saxophone, listen to this, listen to that. And as I grew up and listened to music, I could find something in near enough every song that I appreciated the art of, you know. Oh yeah, like listen to the growl on his voice as he like sings, and you know, I'll listen to that guitar riff, listen to that lick, that's amazing, like, you know. And I think that's where it came from my mum like really helping me to hear music instead of just listen to it. Like, she helped me to hear it.
All right, so we're into our last two now. So Scandalous Scholastics by the Gym Class Heroes.
Yes.
Another band that I've never got into. There's loads on this. There's loads of explorations for me on this one.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you can maybe find some new favourites. But Gym Class Heroes, it's an old school one for me, that is. I don't really listen to them anymore. But I did used to listen to them back in the day when they were quite popular. I feel like there was a period of time where Gym Class Heroes were really popular in music, and then they just faded away somewhere. But this song in particular is something that me and my friend Erin, who she moved down to Brighton a few years ago, and I've been to see her a couple of times, but it broke my heart because she's like one of my best friends. I used to see her every day, and this was when we used to have like sleepovers at her house, and we used to play this song on repeat and try and get the rap right.
Yeah.
And this is one of the only songs that I can rap successfully from start to finish, near enough without stumbling on any bits. And I don't know, like that for me is like a bit of an achievement. So it just sticks out to me as it was a song I listened to consistently for a long period of time, and it reminds me of just, you know, long sleepovers in the summer of when I practically lived at her house, and us like, you know, encouraging each other to rap along to this song, like, come on, you can do it, we'll take it in turns. So yeah, it's a bit of a weird one, but it holds a very special place in me, I think.
No, there's a lot of good themes coming through this with this talk, because it's, yeah, it's all memories and experiences and relationships and friendships and development. And yeah, definitely. And that's how you tag your music, isn't it? It seems from this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't...
Probably not consciously, like, it's probably subconscious, like.
Yeah, I don't know how else people would maybe, like, pick their songs for their playlist. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For me, I can't just pick a song and be like, yeah, I like it because it's good. For me personally, anyway, like, not there's anything wrong with that, but like, for me personally, the songs I've picked have like very specific reasons as to, you know, why they've maybe come to the forefront of my brain when I'm sat trying to pick them. So yeah, I don't know, just for me, music is memory.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, that's why we're sort of doing these meaningful music podcasts, really. Because, as you said earlier, you know, you get to know people through music. You get to know who they are. You get to know what they're about. You get to learn about them, and just through talking about music, and it's really fascinating, you know, for me, as someone who's obviously known you for a while, and you know, we've done some stuff, cool stuff together, like projects and that, but never spoken to you about this sort of stuff. So, it's,
Yeah,
it's really interesting.
Like you kind of have this view, I think, sometimes of what sort of music people will be into, and then sometimes they really shock you when they come out with, like, you know, you'd think someone would listen to, say, pop or rap music, and then they're like, "Yeah, I really love death metal," and you're like, "What?" Like, do you know what I mean? And it's crazy how music tastes develop, and how perhaps, like, you know, some of them are really locked into your personality, but then some of them are really contrasting to what you put out there into the world, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I really like this series that you're doing, hence why I wanted to be part of it. I was like, do me, come on, I want to do myself.
Definitely. And the other thing that I always forget is the associations that you have with people, because, like, obviously my associations with you, because of what we've sort of done together, is to do with circularity play and the sort of, you know, RPG stuff, and we do training together with Ben, and that's kind of fitness stuff. And sometimes it's easy to forget, you know, you're a musician and a singer as well. And it sounds daft. I know it sounds awful me saying that, but it's just how you're familiar with people in different ways.
Yeah, for certain. Like I mean, like I see you as, like, in my head, if I was to, like, give you, like, little, I don't know, like, little labels, like, with the one of the bigger ones would be, like, a musician. Like, to me, you're, like, music man. Like, that's one of, like, the big parts of you that I've, like, seen a lot of and stuff. But then if you turn around to me and you were like, "Oh, yeah, Sophie, I love doing cross-stitching." Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, that's so cool. I didn't know that about you. So, yeah, I like how you're getting to know me through a bit of music stuff.
Tell you what it is. It's interesting with the kids at school as well, because when they'll talk to me and I'll start riffing about games with them, you know, like PlayStation games or whatever. And they look at you gone out, because they don't associate you with that. They associate you with, "Oh, you're the teacher and you've got to be strict and you like play by the rules." And you don't, "Yeah, I do while I'm here, mate. But, you know, at home, I'm like playing on Red Dead and stuff." You know, it's a strange one, really, because you've almost got to adopt different characters in different parts of your life as well, haven't you, sometimes?
Absolutely. Or like just choosing to show different signs of yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I know you as Chris, like Chris the human and Chris the friend. I think seeing you in an educational environment would be as weird for me as your students perhaps seeing you out and about in the wild. I think it would, do you know what I mean, though? It would be the same sort of feeling, because obviously I see a very like carefree nature to you, where you could perhaps like to be a bit chaotic in my RPG sessions I run and things, but obviously you do have to perhaps be a bit more conservative within the educational environment.
I think a lot of my colleagues would say differently. We're finishing with Def Leppard, "Pour Some Sugar on Me," which I definitely know this one, and that this is like, this one leapt out at me, is like, oh, that's different to the rest in a massive way. What encouraged you to make this choice?
Def Leppard, this particular song, "Pour Some Sugar on Me." Funnily enough, this is also on the Coyote Ugly soundtrack, so it's kind of like
coming
full circle back around. Yeah, it is. They dance on the bar to it. And I remember watching the film and being like, what is this cool rock and roll song that I'm hearing? I need to immediately find out what this is. Because it's a very recognisable, like, riff and
it's a massive
drum
tune,
beat, isn't it?
Yeah.
"Pour Some Sugar on Me." Yeah, so, you know, you play that in a room full of people that even vaguely know what rock music is, and everyone's like, oh yeah, I know this. And it's got just such, like, a powerful effect, because when I started, you know, in the old days, we used to have a Sony Ericsson phone that could hold, like, 18 songs on
yeah.
it. Or something like that. And even though the majority of the stuff on there would, like, fluctuate and change, like I said, I've got an eclectic music taste. A lot of it would be pop and a bit of rap and a bit of, like, alternative pop punk. But Def Leppard, Pour Some Sugar On Me never changed. It always stayed on there. If it came on, like, you know, if we were playing from our phones in the playground or whenever it was, a lot of the time it'd be like, whoa, what's this? And then you get somebody from the other end of the playground going, I know that song. And everyone was like, this is really cool, but it's rock music. And rock music back when I was in school wasn't very popular. That was seen as like, no. Like, do you know what I mean? That's not cool music. And people kind of, you know, got the vibe of Pour Some Sugar On Me. So it was really nice to be able to share my rock and roll side with my friends that perhaps weren't that much into rock as I was, because I was into the heavy, screamy stuff.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, like proper.
I've discovered that late. I've literally since doing this Doghouse show with Neil Johnson, that's when I've discovered metal. And it's taken me a long time, basically. Mark, who's the drummer and staff, Mivy, was joking the other day saying, I said, it's taking you 17 years, mate. Because they used to say all the time, you need to listen to this, listen to this, listen to this. And I was just like, oh no, it's too shouty, I don't like it. But Norma Jean, for me, they're really, really good. I'm really into them at the minute.
Yeah? I haven't really listened to them, to be honest.
Oh yeah, there's two albums, there's Polar Similar and All Hail. Those two, I think they're probably two of the more recent ones, but they're both phenomenal. Absolutely brilliant albums.
I'm writing them down now as we speak on my little pad. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll give them a listen. Thank you very much.
So that was a whistle stop tour of your life through music and the tracks that mean a lot to you. So that was wicked. Thank you.
No problem.